In three words, tell me what
else. First, let me think.
That's four words. You don't mean that. Yeah? How many years here? How many years we have known each other?
13.
13 years. He says nothing to gain. It's a joke, huh? It's a joke, real joke, huh? You came to Switzerland every year, right?
Three times one year.
Huh? And now he says there's nothing to gain. Would you believe it?
Well, I like you.
Oh. Yeah?
I have my doubts.
It's part of liking.
But anyhow, you are trying to make it clear to us that
No, you can't look for something or search for something that you do not know. You already know what you are looking for. You say that you are looking for something you do not know. You can't look for anything that which you do not know. You can't ask for anything that which you do not know. Do you know? So then why you are searching, why you are seeking?
Why don't you stick with it, you ask?
Huh?
Why don't you stick with it, you ask us?
No.
If you know that there is nothing...
No. The fear of the unknown is... That expression has no meaning. You can't be afraid of the unknown. You are... The fear of losing what you know. That's really the problem. It's not the fear of the unknown. That expression has no meaning at all. You can't be searching for something you don't know.
So, does it indicate that we have the feeling somewhere that we will lose everything if we will find that?
See, what you know does not operate in your life. It has no relevance to the way you are functioning. That's really the crux of the problem. And if you continue to go on with that, it's because of the hope that somehow, you know, it's going to be a reality in your life. It's going to be a fact of your existence. Or somebody, you see, will help you. You know? In the future, through some miracle, you know a lot more than you
need to know.
Than you can imagine. You know a lot. You don't need to know more about it. You know, and yet why? Oh, it doesn't operate in your life. Something is wrong somewhere. It can't be with you. It's with that, you see. So if you say that the teaching or whatever word you want to use has no relevance to the way you are functioning, you don't throw that away because of the sentimental reasons that if you brush aside the teaching, you are brushing aside the teachers also. It's not one, two, three or the hundreds of teachers, you see. One is enough. If you finish with him, you have finished with them all. Not one after the other. It's one system after another. One philosophy after another. One teaching after another. It has no relevance, you see, to the way you are functioning. Absolutely no relevance. And you are trying to relate that teaching to the way you are functioning. And so naturally, there is a demand on your part to bring about a change in you. Changes are all that you are interested in. There is nothing there to be changed. So So the talk of change, radical change, radical mutation, such phrases, you know, are very fascinating to you. So you are hooked to that and you put yourself on a merry-go-round. So you learn a new language and then you begin to look at things through these new words, new phrases, and then experience things through the help of this knowledge. But basically it is the same.
So knowledge is not worth 2 hands.
But what's the good of, what's the point in saying that? We're sitting here and asking all the questions.
No more and more.
If not here, you will go somewhere else. I'm sure of that, you see. What brings you here will take you somewhere else. If you don't get what you want, you are not going to get what you want. You see. So that's the reason why I'm asking, what do you want? What you want, you can get, you see, in other areas. This you are not going to get it because it doesn't exist. I can say that for the end of my life, it doesn't have any effect on you. Some guidelines you want, you see, to live, to make your miserable life into a tolerable, bearable life, that's all, nothing else. So the drugs will help you, not the drugs that these hippies are taking. It's one day. It will happen like the painkillers, you see, the pleasure pills, ecstasy. You can experience anything you want. The hope is in medical technology for all your problems and not the teachings of the religious teachers, past, present, or the teachers yet to come. They cannot help you. No. Not that you will give up that kind of a thing, you see, the teachings of all those people, past and present, you see, they are outdated, outmoded. Very soon the discoveries of modern technology will point out the absurdity of all that nonsense. If you still talk of awareness, it is too ridiculous, you see. There is no such thing as awareness. You know, the awareness is an activity of the brain. And there is no such thing as consciousness. There is no such thing as consciousness. You know, consciousness probably is another word for life. What is important to you is how you become conscious of things out there and conscious of things inside of you. How you become conscious of yourself. So that is only through the knowledge that is given to us. Otherwise you have no way of experiencing yourself. You have no way of experiencing yourself. You have no way of experiencing the world around you without that knowledge. So you have to depend upon that knowledge. Otherwise your existence is threatened. You experience yourself as an entity. This is me. These are my experiences. Those experiences are created by the knowledge. Otherwise there is no experience. Without knowledge you can't experience a thing. So that knowledge gives you experience, and every experience you experience strengthens and fortifies that. It goes on. It's a vicious circle. And you superimpose on that, you see, the spiritual stuff. You're not satisfied with your Christianity, you bring all kinds of teachers from outside and you have plenty of stuff to exploit you. So, it's not my interest to help you to make you see the absurdity of what you're doing. You're not going to do it anyway. I'm not here to liberate you. I don't come here to liberate people. I don't go to America or anywhere to liberate people. My talking is incidental. You know, I did not come here to hold discussions or meet people. My meeting people is incidental. My talking is incidental. Take it or leave it.
Hey, Yuji.
Yeah.
You said the other day...
Other day we forget.
Okay, then it's now again.
No.
That I have to know what I want. And I sat the whole day with it. I have to know what I want. And I want to know it by thinking.
Yeah, that's the only way you can.
Yeah, but when I do that, it makes me crazy and I do not know what I want.
Yeah.
And I sat and I was going down and down, and you also said, you need not my help. So I thought, okay,
you need
I go and I need not your help. And I was at home and it was horrible.
You are here.
I can't come out.
You are here. Back here.
So
if not here, you
will,
if not here, you will go somewhere else. Don't bother, you see. I am not concerned about that, whether you are here or go somewhere else. It really doesn't matter. So, you see, want anything you want. Huh? How do you go about to get what you want? Forget about the spiritual things, material
things. Yeah, no, it was no spiritual thing at all.
No, forget about it. You see, how do you get what you want? What do you do about it? Take any specific thing, you see. Don't talk in generalities. What you want? You want to get something.
Yeah.
So you get it, but you see, you don't do it, you see. You begin to think about it. The moment you think about it, you need some ideas, some material to think about it. And somebody supplies you that material, you see. The ideas, the words, the phrases. So, wanting and thinking are not two different things. If you don't want a thing, there is no thinking there at all.
I don't understand. Wanting,
if you want anything, it doesn't matter whether you want, you see, the material things or the spiritual things, you see, any want that is there, start thinking. See, you know, I want to reach out, you see, reach out, but then something else then comes into the picture and tells you, watch out. You see, these two things are there, you see, that it is that has created the neurotic situation in you.
Yeah.
Two things, you want two things at the same time, you want and then something else says don't, you know, dangerous.
Yeah.
So that destroys the possibility of an action.
Yeah.
You are not acting, you see. That is all that action that I am talking about. You don't act, you cannot act as long as you are thinking. Unless the action is there, the problems cannot be solved. You don't even try. The fear of the consequences, the fear of what will come, you see, what will happen. That's all that you are doing. Do it and see what happens. So the past always comes into the picture, you see. So in that sense, you don't have a future. That is the reason why I am telling you that you ain't got a chance of enlightenment. It's not that I know your future or that I look into your future, that I am clairvoyant or psychic or nothing of the sort, you see. It has to be here now. It's not in the future. So past you didn't have, why you didn't have, is very clear. You are only thinking about it, you see, you know a lot about it. That knowledge has not helped you to get what you want, assuming for a moment that there is such a thing as enlightenment or freedom, or whatever word you want to use, or transformation, radical transformation, whatever you are after. You know a lot about it. People have talked about it, you have read about it, you have tried it, you have experienced it, and yet you are still searching for it, you see. So how can the future be different? In the past, you see, even in the ordinary day-to-day living, you see, you had moments of happiness, you had moments of unhappiness, moments of pleasure, moments of pain. So, you are using the same instrument, same thinking, same knowledge to achieve your ultimate goals in the future. So there is no guarantee except the hope that somehow, through some miracle or the help of somebody, you will perform a miracle yourself. No, not a chance, not a chance. So there must be a present, you see, before you think of future. In the present, only the past is operating. You see, if you want it, you don't have a chance. That's all that I'm saying. You can want a thing that you know. So there is no question of you getting enlightened because you know a lot about it. Enlightenment, if you still want to use the word, in quote and unquote, something which you will never know. Which you will never know. You will never tell yourself that I'm an enlightened man or go about enlightening other people. You will never know that. It's outside the field of the knowledge. So you can't say anything about it, you see. You know? So you know, you see. That is the one that is operating here now at this moment. You see, the people talk of now, here and now, the present moment, living in moment, you know, living from moment to moment, all that bullshit, you see, throw it all out. There's nothing to it, you see. You can tell me, now at this moment, this is the present, this is the moment, you tell me something about it. You can do that. You don't need any teacher, you don't need any knowledge about it. So what is happening? What's going on there is only the past. You see? You know? Mm-hmm. So you cannot want enlightenment, you cannot ask for enlightenment. No matter who says what, as long as you want it, you ain't got a chance of getting it. Probably you will get some experiences, you see, some mystical experiences, and think that's it, you see, I'm enlightened. And then look at things, you see, and then interpret things and write commentaries, give lectures, go about converting people. That's all that you can do. It's not something extraordinary. Any fool can do that. But as far as you are concerned, there is no question of your getting enlightenment as long as you want it. So wanting means you only think about it. There is no action necessary for enlightenment. All action in that direction. So if you want to be free from thinking, stop thinking. How do you go about stop thinking? You see, this is the way somebody says, you see. So you are still thinking about how to stop thinking. It is a very vicious circle, you know. So be in a thoughtless state. Yeah? Be in a thoughtless state. You see, that thoughtless state is invented by the thought. You see, because you are using thought to achieve certain goals, certain results, it has not worked so far. You see, it is very tiring, you see, to repeat this process again and again and again. So you want to be in a thoughtless state. How the hell you are going to be in a thoughtless state? You see, you are using thought to be in a thoughtless state. You see, you put yourself in what you call a thoughtless state, an experienced thoughtless state, and tell yourself the thought was not there. The fact that you are talking about a state where the thought is not there or was not there means the thought was very much there. You see? Otherwise you can't say that the thought was not there. The knowledge that the thought was absent for a little while is all that you have. So that is why it doesn't do you any good. You see, it comes back again. You know? So you cannot talk of thoughtless state. It's the thought that has invented, not necessarily you, some joker there, somewhere experienced a petty little state called a thoughtless state, and captured that within the framework of his experience and started selling it, you see, sharing it with you. So now you want to be in that state, you see. So how are you going to be in that state, thoughtless state? It is the thought that has invented the thoughtless state. It knows very well that it can never be in the thoughtless state. So it goes on and on forever. Its continuity is assured. The end of the thought is the end of you. The thought comes to an end only when you die. Until then, don't think, don't take the word of anybody that you will be in a thought. If the thought comes to an end, That's the end of you, the physical end. Clinical death takes place. You can imagine, fancy, all kinds of things. Thought will never stop. If the thought stops, thought is life. It's not something outside life. They go together, thought and life. Matter and energy are one and the same. So if you try to control your thought, it's like something controlling your breath. You see, you can control your breath and experience all kinds of things by cutting out oxygen, the flow of oxygen into your brain. You have extraordinary experiences. That is why all these breathing techniques give you all kinds of funny experiences. But if you do it for long, you will be choked to death. In exactly the same way, the whole fun is trying to control thought, through thought, and that gives you certain experiences, and hope that one day you will be in a thoughtless state. If the thought stops, you will be in a dangerous situation. That's not what you want. Same the timeless state. All these metaphysicians sit and discuss everlastingly. The time must come to an end. It's all metaphysics, you see. It is the time that has invented the timeless, and it pursues the timeless, and in this process it experiences funny little things called timeless state experiences. So it wants more and more and more and more, and there is no end to it. The time is another word for thought. The moment the thought is born, the time is there. You see, so the enlightenment you are interested in is in time. If the time is absent, the thought is absent, so the enlightenment business is absent. So it is not something that can be used by you to solve your problems. Your problems can never be solved by becoming enlightened.
What I don't understand is, your message to me is that I don't need you. Mm-hmm. Yeah? I can't listen already to you. I don't understand what happened to you.
That's not no importance here.
No?
No.
But why are you teaching and talking and trying to give, although your arguments that it doesn't work for it, you still give me information to let me think.
Yeah.
So for me that's double. I don't understand that.
No, it's not very clear to me. I get the hang of what you are trying to say. You see, it is adding more burden to you. Mm-hmm. Is that what you are saying?
Yeah.
Huh? So what do you do then? You just get up and walk out. That does not solve the problem for you.
No, but you gave me that information. But you are here to talk about it, so you
because
want
you
to give
are
me
here,
some information.
Because you are here, I'm talking. Because these people are all interested in that kind of a thing, I'm talking. Otherwise, whatever subject you want to discuss, I can discuss. If you are not here, I go and watch television. I was doing that before you came.
It has no importance?
To me, whether I talk to you or watch television or go for a walk or do anything, it has no importance to me. Because I'm not talking with the idea of helping you at all. No.
When you are talking, I'm thinking.
The helplessness of the situation is all that I'm trying to focus, spotlight, in this so-called conversation or whatever you want to call it. You see, the teaching implies that there is something that is given to you which you can apply and produce results for yourself, bring about a change. Teaching implies change. And I am saying that no change is there necessary. It's quite the opposite. So, if you want to call it a teaching, it doesn't matter. I myself don't know what to say, all this stuff. You see, this. It doesn't matter, but what I am saying is something which cannot be used by you to bring about a change. That's all that you are interested in, not necessarily enlightenment. You see, you are dissatisfied with your life, so you want to change it, you see, you know. That's all that you are interested in. It doesn't matter what you want to change there, but the instrument which you have is only the thinking. You see, that's all that you are doing. What I am suggesting is that through thinking you ain't got a chance to bring about any change. If the thinking is not there, unfortunately it is there always, there is nothing that you can do to bring about a change. So it may sound very, very pessimistic, very negative, very gloomy, the picture. I'm not presenting the picture as a gloomy picture or a pessimistic picture or a negative picture. But what is so marvelous about, you see, your positive approach to the problem, you see, you know. So the so-called, if you call this a negative approach, it is still related to the problem you are interested in. Positive approach is failed, so you have invented this thing called the negative approach, but the negative approach is still interested in a positive goal. The positive goal is to be happy always, without moments of unhappiness. Right? That's the interest of everybody, how to have pleasure only without pain. But I can sit here and talk for days and days and point out to you that what you call pleasure is pain. And you see, I can describe and discuss the anatomy of pleasure and why pleasure is pain. But you see, that is not what you are interested in. You want to have one without the other. So there is no use condemning pleasure and trying to free yourself from pleasure. And if you are freed from pain, the pleasure also goes with it. You can't have one without the other. That's all that I'm pointing out. So do what you like. It's your affair. It's your life. I am talking of enlightenment, the subject in which I have no interest at all. I do it because everybody is interested in enlightenment. There are quite a few of them here in Amsterdam. That's too much.
But what is then the meaning of meditation?
Why should there be any meaning, sir? Tell me. Living itself is very important. As long as you are interested in the meaning of life, it makes it difficult for you to live. You see, we don't know anything about life. Nobody knows anything about life. You can define life, talk about it, its mysteries, and meaning and all that. But the problem is the living. That's all that we are concerned about. You see, how to live. That's what we have been told. We are only interested in how. That's all. So if we are lucky enough to be freed from that how to live, you see, what we are left with is living. So that then it is not our concern at all, you see. We obviously don't see any meaning in life, you see. That's the reason we want to find out there must be some meaning, there must be some purpose. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? Yes. So how do we go about, you see? You know, you should have known by now. You lived long enough in this world, tried so many things, experienced so many things. If by now you do not know the meaning of life, when are you going to find out? Not only you, 85-year-old man comes and asks me, what is the meaning of life? What are you? You're 85, you haven't found. How the hell you are going to find out? When are you going to find out the meaning of life? That was my answer. So you find out and tell me. He got up and walked out. He never came back.
So he found him.
I don't know. I'm glad he didn't come back. He saw the point. You see, you know, all his life he asked this question. Wherever he went, to whomsoever he approached, you see, this was the only question. So when he came to me and put the same question, what is the purpose? I want to find out the meaning. How old are you? He said 87. When are you going to find out the year? Your life is finished practically. One of these days you will kick your bucket, you see. You know what? When you are going to find out the meaning of it? It's not a joke, you see. 85 years the chap has lived in this world and he still is asking the question, what is the meaning of life? I really don't know. To be very honest with you, you see, I don't know what the meaning of life, because I don't even have the time to ask that question. What is the meaning of life and think about it? That prevents the possibility of life living its own life. See, how we know a lot about how. We replace one how with another how, another how, another how. It goes on. All of our life is wasted finding out how to live, and that takes away all the energy that is necessary for the life to solve its day-to-day problems. What a tremendous amount of energy is wasted thinking about the meaning of life, asking for it. What are we doing after all, you see, thinking about the meaning of life? This is the meaning of life. This is not the meaning of life. What an amount of energy is wasted, you know? If, thank God, if that is released, what is it that you see, you cannot do? That's all that we need, energy. Not the physical energy only, you see, the energy to deal with the problem. Whatever is the problem of enlightenment, you cannot deal with it. You swallow everybody's statements, you start believing, put your confidence, faith in that fellow, you see, and you think he's enlightened and he's going to enlighten. But we don't have the energy to find out for ourselves, you see. You know? If he says that, you see, I was brought up in that, you know, environment. Everybody talked of past life, future life, this the aspect. You will be surprised that when people met there in peace of society, the way they greeted was very strange. You know, when you meet somebody, I am Murari, what's your name? You know, that's the usual conversation. But there, I was Queen Victoria in my previous life. Queen Victoria probably was alive. What were you in your previous life? You know? They have published the 12 past lives of Jai Krishna Krishna. That was the environment. You see, always, you know, they took all the great historical figures for themselves. There was nothing left for ordinary people. They all the King Ashoka was the, you know, strength. That's all. So, is there any such thing? What is there now? You see, unless we find out now, what is there now which will reincarnate? You see, or which was there before? If you accepted the soul, you see, you have to find out. I can say that there is no life after, or the life before. This is all that is there, you know. And then, if that is all that is there, all the years you spend, struggle, suffer, you see, it's misery, you see, achieve, fail, is coming to an end. You see, so, is that all? If that is all, what would you do? That's all, I can say. What would you do? Then you have tremendous amount of time and energy available to you to get the maximum, the best out of it. Even if you indulge in pleasure of every kind, it doesn't matter. You are foregoing so many things in the hope of getting something else somewhere. Why did all these rishis did tapas in India? They sat there under a tree until the anthills grew around them. Their interest was only to have Menaka, Urvasi, the dancers in the heaven, to have sex with them. That was all that they were interested in, meditation. I'm not joking. They meditated until the anthills grew and the hands from the tree and meditated. What for? To have these dancers in heaven when they are there. That's too funny. You know? You know, only that side of Hinduism, the Hindu hell compared to Catholic hell is a paradise, I tell you. The Hindu hell, oh my God. You don't know about that, those stories. It's only the Celesta and teach you some tricks, gimmicks, that's all. But the real Hinduism and, oh my God, stories. I grew up there, sir. Crazy. All acidates. I don't know. Live.
It's the painting, Hawaii tradition, Hawaii tradition.
You don't, you know that? Why are you asking me the question?
You said,
now why you are asking me the question? You know that.
No.
It's going on and on and on and on.
But
you see, as long as...
Sorry. It's a reaction of the fact that there at the moment. So if it's a reaction,
you're always thinking about something.
But before about you start something. Thinking about something, there is just
What is that thing?
Thinking is a reaction of effect.
Yeah, before that what was
there? Before you start thinking, there must
be What was there before? Was there before?
Different thing.
You are thinking about something else. Or you are dreaming when you are asleep in the night. Because your thinking is pushed down, you see, into the subterranean region so that the body can relax and renew itself. The body demands that, so it forces you to sleep. You see, but sleep, you don't have to sleep, you see, for 8 hours, 9 hours. Living is just for a few minutes. But the rest of the sleep, you dream. Because you are dreaming in the daytime, while you are awake, you dream in the night. If you don't dream now, you don't have to dream in the night. You don't even have to sleep so many hours. So anyway, that is beside the point. So, is there any moment when you don't think?
It must be.
Well, why do we say must be?
Because the thinking itself is a reaction of something.
Yes, you're putting thoughts together.
So there must be.
They don't assert, you see. You tell me, you can find out for yourself. Just don't say there must be. There may not be. There is no moment when the thinking is not, thinking is absent. You may be thinking of 10 different things, you see. So there is always going, you see, the thoughts. They are not important. The problem arises. You see, what you call thinking is only when you use those thoughts to achieve some results. That's all. Otherwise, whether the thoughts are there or not there, you will never know. You are using them to achieve certain results. Whether they are material goals or spiritual goals, it really doesn't matter. That's all. We use them. And so, it is always a protective mechanism. Thought is a protective mechanism. To protect yourself, you use thought. Huh? So it creates violence there. Two things, there is a fight, there is a battle there. And so all around us is battle. How can there be a peaceful world? To be at peace with yourself, through war you are going to create that peace. It's impossible to create peace through war. You see? So here also the world around you, all your techniques of meditation, battle, constant battle. You are tired, exhausted, and that you call a peaceful moment. And then it starts all over again. It's going there, you want to bring it back. You know that. You know all those techniques. I don't have to tell you. It's going on. So if you can't ignore them. You use them. You see, you use your thoughts to achieve something. To achieve a goal, material or spiritual, it doesn't matter. So you have not succeeded. It's the hope that somehow you are going to succeed. To be happy, you are using thoughts, thinking, you see, how can I be happy? The same thing. How can I be happy? Always happy. So what are you doing to be happy always? That's all that I'm asking. Then the next thing is, what gives you happiness? You see, if you achieve certain things, you are happy. If you don't get what you want, you are unhappy. If you get what you want, you are happy. So how many things you want, it goes on. Ultimately, you want heaven, you want God, you want enlightenment, goodness, what? So that is the ultimate pleasure. If I had that, these problems would be solved. So if this is not here, that is not important. That's all that I'm saying. It is the goal that is important to you. See, that is why whether you have to do something or not, you see, whether sadhana is now necessary or not, these questions arise only because of the goal, you see. You know, you take it for granted that that is your goal. So then he is not some teacher necessary, he is not some help necessary. To understand, you are a living human being, you don't need anybody's help to understand something about life. If you can't, who else can? Tell me. Any idea I give you, any thing I tell you is dead already. It's a dead thing, cannot touch life. It's something living. If you can't understand yourself, how can anybody help you to understand? Huh? You are using the knowledge to understand yourself. So what you see is what the knowledge is telling you about, that you are a sinner, pitiful sinner. What the hell you are talking about? Why you are a sinner? Huh? Same story there in India. You go to a temple, go round and round and round. A sinner, pitiful sinner, and goes on this story. It's not different. So your ignorance is a sin. That's all. You are ignorant. Why give that name? Call yourself a sinner. What for? So you look at yourself through what those people have been talking. You see, if that is not there, you have no way of looking at you. Don't even want to look at you. Because there is nothing there to look at. Seeing, observing, looking, knowing. Huh? What the heck these people are talking about? What is that? Observer is the observed. It's a waste of time. Wasting time. So much so you don't have time to live. This is an extraordinary world. What is it that the world can't give you, sir? Huh? The nature is something extraordinary. Now go and look at nature and paint some filthy pictures. That's no good. You don't have to do anything. Take walks, look at the sun, watch the clouds, jump into the river. Do what you like. You don't have to do a thing about it. Plenty. There is plenty in nature.
If I get you right, say, forget all about what you are projecting as a goal in the future. You can't forget about it.
Yeah.
No chance. No. But forget about
it. It's just a word, forget about it. Just forget it. So, it's a waste of breath on my side to tell you. I know you are not going to do it. That's all. And why you are saying that? You may very well ask me the question. This point you are not going to be seeing. Everybody else says do it. You see, this is another line for you. Just forget it. You pick up another phrase, just you have not forgotten it. Yes, just forget it. Just the way you repeated all the other lines, you are also repeating these lines. That's all. That's all that you can do. That's all that the tape recorder can do. Whatever you record, it repeats. You erase that and you record something else. Even if you erase whatever, the other things are also still there. There will come a time when you will be able to get it back. Both. Every line that is recorded.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's all. There is nothing marvelous. You are a machine.
Right.
You are a monkey. Monkey.
I completely accept. What's wrong with that?
So what is so marvelous about the man? Nothing there. Simple. It simplifies everything. If you think that you are a human being superior, it's good.
So, and monkeys simply enjoy.
And you see, you are born with a great purpose. You know, this is not an easy thing to be born a human being. I tell you the story. One great monk who came to see me with all his disciples, he heard of me. And why am I born here? He thought that I would give this. The usual line, you know, it's not an easy thing, it's a great opportunity for you to be born as a man. And you see, this is the highest thing, you know, there is a Hindu line there.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. He said, your parents made love. He got the shock of his life, he got even... Why was I born? He said, you know, what are you talking? Yeah. Yeah, very frivolous, ridiculous, he said. But what do you expect me to do? Is that a very profound question? Huh? What does everyone? Huh?
What?
What are your commandments? Another monk came to me, a holy man. What are your commandments? It's all useless. What are you? First thing, steal but don't get caught. He was furious. Is that your commandment? Steal but don't get caught. If you are caught, you will be in trouble. What do you want me to do? Huh? Tell me.
Be clever.
Who? Be clever, yes. There is somebody, you see, in this world, if we accept the fact that there is always somebody more intelligent than you are in this world, then you are relieved. You are on the guard. Always somebody more intelligent than you are. That's all. And you are way, have your way. Now, joking about think that's enough?
I always look at that, but it's enough.
How much is it?
It's a half.
That's enough, 45 minutes. Huh?
That's very good. Huh? Even if you go back and do two times, 45
minutes. It's a break in the football game.
Football game.
45 minutes.
All right, we'll have a break.
The second half. That's the break. Yes, just in time.
Total, how many hours? Out of thought is destructive. Not only destructive to the body, but destructive, progressively destructive in the direction of destroying everything that man has built for himself.
Not anything is destructive if you are
hungry. Just noise, this one.
Yes, this was, I thought yesterday you said something like, at least to us, I not recall it correctly, I think it came down to the following thing, I thought, you said something like, you do not exist, and immediately this machine says, yes, I know.
You know that you do not exist.
Yes, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a chewing gum in which we are.
No, I'm not trying to trick you into any situation to... No, nothing, you see. You don't exist, you see, except as an idea, as a knowledge, you see. What is it that tells you that this is your... this is your hand. This is your hand, yes. But if you ask me whose hand it is, of course it's my hand, solid. You see, that implies there is a... some reference point which identifies this hand with it, you see, some entity there, you know. Where is that entity? No, the entity is the knowledge. So the eye comes and goes, you see. The moment you recognize that as a candle light, that is the eye, there is no other eye there, that's all that I'm saying. And a lot more about it, that's my candle, that's not your candle, you see, you know, don't blow the candle, the whole lot, you see, basically, the I is the word, that's all, the first person singular pronoun. This chappy always objects to me, I have to say you. And he thinks that I'm referring to him, he wants to say that he is not, you know, but he is something different, you see, not like all the others. So when I say you, it's in contradistinction to the first person singular pronoun. I say I, if I say I all the time, it is boring. So if it is you, it's also boring. So sometimes I switch it to, and I don't want to use you and I and make it poetic. You and I, you know, or the speaker, or what is being said. That's more egocentric, more boring. There was one Swami there, Ramdas his name. I think he died in 63. He has a big ashram. His mother is still there. He always referred to himself as Rama. You see, Ramdas his name. See, Ramdas. Ramdas is delighted to meet you, Mr. Krishnamurti. Ramdas wants to take you around this ashram, so Ramdas, you know, what the hell you have done? Why not you use I and get it over? It is too disgusting. See, Ramdas will be delighted to have you for lunch. Forget it. Keep on going. Use I. I will be glad. I will be happy. Why Ramdas is delighted? What nonsense is it? He is more self-centered than an ordinary man. What does he prove by that? You see that the I is absent there or what? This is a mode of communication. See, I use it so many times. See, it doesn't mean anything. It's the first person singular pronoun. And you, I, he, see, he, she, it, as it is, maybe. You can do what you like. So that does not prove that you are free from all that. That's enough, I think.
Come on, you said two times 45 minutes. I know you do not.
Even before I started, I said that.
Did you not?
Nice meeting you all and goodbye. Always. What do you want? I am ready to talk. I can sit and talk for the rest of the night and until I get into the plane day after tomorrow morning. It's not going to help you at all.
Just to not fill up the rest of the Monday.
Rest of the Monday, today is Monday. All right. What do you want me to say? I can't sing. I have an asinine voice. What can I do? This is my song. I am singing my song. It's a... You don't know the melody, you don't know the tune, you don't know the lyric, it's some noise, you know, it's to carry it. You are so used to this all your life. Listening, 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 huh? That's all. What, Mr. Hank Schoenwell? Do I have your permission to...
Go.
We were thinking, spend another week here. Skip, huh?
You're welcome.
Welcome.
But I want to know something more about the pleasure pain business.
Yes.
It is our own invention.
Huh?
Pleasure, pain.
Pain is not the invention, mister.
No, I mean,
pain is not. There is no meaning, no mystery of pain. I'm talking of physical pain.
Yes.
And you are talking of some other pain. Pain of not getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The pain of not getting things your way.
Yes.
The pain of not reaching your goal. That's what you are talking about. And you use the word psychological pain. I'm talking about physical pain. Everything is physical. So, we are talking of two different things. And even this physical pain is relegated into the background by the religious people telling you that you must bear pain. You see? You know, endure pain. And that's a sign of spiritual qualities. If you endure pain, so the whole religion is built on the foundation of pain. You don't understand masochism. You are a masochist, you see, you enjoy pain and make a virtue of that. You enjoy poverty, you don't enjoy poverty. You make it's too bad that you are poor. But why make a virtue of that? If you make a virtue of that, you will not do anything to free yourself from your poverty, you see. So these were all the tricks of the religious people to put you there, you know, where you forever there. Yes, certainly. Nothing else. So what is the other pain you are talking about, you tell me?
The psychological pain.
Physical, let's call it physical pain.
Also
physical pain.
The so-called
psychological pain is also affecting the body.
Yes.
So the body is not interested in your bliss. The body is not interested in pleasure. You see, so the moment there is a pleasurable sensation, there is a demand. You see, each sensation has a limited time, duration. So there is what is called a pleasurable sensation. You see, the translation of a sensation as a pleasurable sensation. You have already translated that. Holding this with your hand, holding this and holding the hand of your delicate darling, as far as the physical sense of sensation and touch are concerned, they are all the same. The sense of touch does not say that this is hard and this is soft, and that is soft and lovelier and delicate. It doesn't say anything. You understand? So the knowledge comes, the thought comes and tells you that this is hard. You see, the sensation of touch does not tell you anything. The knowledge you have of this tells you that this is hard, and that is possible only when the space is created between the two. Otherwise it is one. You see, this thought creates the space here. So that is why they say that thought is space. You see, the moment the thought is born, the space is created. Not only here, all around you. Not only all around you, but also inside of you. You see, this is a pleasurable sensation. You understand what I am saying? So, thought is space, thought is time. You see, thought is matter. You see, it creates the materiality of this, gives substance to it, and then it says hard. You see, that is soft. So, in exactly the same way, there is a sensation which is neither pleasurable nor painful. It is just a sensation. That sensation is translated by you as a pleasurable sensation. That is inevitable. You see, so I am describing the anatomy of, to give you a feel about it, you see, why it is a pain I am telling you. So the moment you see you translate a sensation as a pleasurable sensation, there is a demand for the pleasurable sensation to last longer. So the body is rejecting, you see, any sensation that stays there longer destroys the sensitivity of the body. You see, if you want to look at the flower, focusing on that, the clarity is lost. You see, the eye must have clarity. So you are interested in the clarity through the use of thought. Look at the flower, you are looking at, concentrating on that, seeing the details, and so on and so forth. So but that is not what the physical eye is interested in.
There is also.
So you see, so the pleasure, the moment you see, you translate that as a pleasurable sensation, there is a demand for that, you see, to last longer. So it is choking you to death, it cannot. It's like holding your breath for long. You don't even know that you are breathing, are you? Aware of the fact that you are breathing? No, at no time. It's not necessary for you to know. You sit in one corner and then you see, for some reason you are asked to control your breath. You see, then you become conscious. You use your thought, will, and then try to control your breath. So why the hell should you control your breath, expand? You can't expand your lungs, you can't expand anything there. These jokers come along and tell you. So by controlling breath, you are denying oxygen to the brain. That's very simple. All these techniques, you see, those people have invented. There's nothing else to do there in India. You see, sitting there in the jungle there, enrolling in the grass, on the grass, looking at the sun, drinking so much juice, you know, your acid hits. And they experienced all these fantasies and shared these things with the others. And you pass them on and on and on and on. Some joker experiences the same thing and talks about the same thing. So why the hell should you be aware of the breathing? What for? So you are wanting to do that, you see. He is the one that is creating the knots in the body. It is not flowing normally. So you create a problem. And then all these jokers about it, Vipassana Buddha will use the technique. Who the hell is he? He knows that he used this last technique, Vipassana. You make a big business out of it. To be aware of your breath from the origin to the end. So you are doing something, is the one that is responsible for the tensions in the body. It's not the other way around.
Yes, sir.
You first create tensions and then you want to... You see, if you have very seriously tried these things, you will discover... I discovered these things long time ago, when I was 14, 15. There must be something funny about the whole business, you see. You know? So the fellow who wrote the books, who taught me these pranayams, I told him, look here, you see, you are kidding yourself. I have no objection. You can kid yourself, but you are not going to kid me. Do more and more of the same. I am not interested in doing more and more of the same. I have done enough, you see. So this is the result. This is our, see, anything I experience is my own thought-induced experience, so I am not interested in that. So why am I saying that? My life cut. So we start all of
this. But if I understand you well?
You haven't understood a thing.
The same applies to...
everything. Yeah, we are going back to the pain, I'm sorry. You are going back to the pain. So the moment you try, you see, to increase the duration of the particular sensation which you call pleasurable sensation, it is pain. It is pain there. That is what you see, the impossibility of holding on to the pleasure is pain, you see, that's all that you are experiencing. So it is not that the pain comes after pleasure, but the very pleasure is pain. So I am not saying for a moment, please, that you should not have pleasures, deny yourself pleasure. No. So your enlightenment, freedom, transformation, that is the ultimate pleasure you have. Your purpose in all this is to have this permanent pleasure, permanence in everything. There is no such thing as permanence at all. So you are not going to succeed. You may have some hope that somehow you will succeed, but your interest is pleasure. Your ultimate goal is ultimate pleasure. And so the enlightenment knocks not pain but pleasure. That's what I am telling you. It knocks off pleasure, not pain. You are looking for something to free yourself from pain. So you are looking for something which will keep you happy always. So that will knock off the happiness and not unhappiness, because there is no such thing as unhappiness at all. See, there is no such thing as unhappiness at all. If you don't know what happiness is, then there is no unhappiness. I really don't know what happiness is, so I can never be unhappy. You know? People tell me, oh, you must be always happy. See, and what the hell you are talking? I don't even know what happiness is. So how can I be unhappy?
So all what we do is adding to the pain.
Yes, huh? Pain. You love pain.
Same applies to
pain,
isn't it?
That's all. That's what you want. You don't want to be free from fear. What is the good of my telling you? Somebody around the corner, he has some gimmicks. He runs a shop there. Sells you. Go. Good luck. It's not cynical. I'm telling you, go and try. See, put yourself to sleep. Take some drugs and sleep for some time. Very soon the medical technology will provide you with all drugs for your problems. including enlightenment.
You have a drug problem.
You can't ban drugs. You are not going to look. Pleasure pills they have already. Ecstasy they have banned in America. So?
I always
do. Why you look at that?
You have to talk to
him. He's something nice. eat. You don't want me to stop.
Uh-huh. No, it's your business. You can stop if you like.
How can it be my business? You are sitting there.
But if I leave, will you?
Certainly, I can go.
I'm going.
We were comparing the struggle inside ourselves with the struggle outside the walls. Are we responsible?
Individually, we are responsible. Individually. Every one of us is responsible. We want to blame it on the politicians, we want to blame it on the leaders, we want to blame it on somebody else. Because you see, the outside and inside is one and the same. There is no outside there. You are protecting yourself here. See, thought is a protective mechanism, building walls around yourself. How can there be, see, one wall? No, not a chance. You can have United Nations, you can have Brotherhood organizations, not possible. You can't live with another person who you are in love with. What the hell you are talking? How can you live with the world around you? Not a chance. Except on the basis of gratification. What do I get out of this? The other individual too. So the basis of all relationships is born out of first your loneliness, you know, and the demand to fill that loneliness, and even there you are not even grateful, you see. You want great, somebody is filling in. That's what I tell my friends, look here, these commercials, they are the ones who are paying for the entertainment there, you know. So you should be thankful to them, but you don't want to watch, you turn off the commercials, sometimes they are more interesting than the programs. They are the ones who are paying. It costs millions and millions, you see, you know, it's not an easy job to televise those programs. So they are paying. And why you can curse them, why you condemn them, why you turn off the commercials and listen only to the programs? You say, I am thankful, I am grateful to them. Ajax or Ariel, or I don't know what other things they are selling.
Some stuff.
I'm not influenced by what they are selling, but the way they are selling is very attractive to me. You see, not what they are, the product doesn't interest me. They're all the same. But the way they are selling, you see, is very interesting. Now, sir, thank you. No, I wait.
No, I'm out of business.
No.
You can do what you want.
I can't do anything. I'm a helpless man.
I know. Should I help you, sir? May I help you?
Who? Is it sick? I can't say no to anybody who comes to see me. That's my problem. It's not that. See, no, I can't say. What is it that I can do? You know. I'll write it and say a few words and then goodbye. Really, I'm totally, totally helpless. I want you to be also helpless. And that's the end of our relationship. You are on your own. Total helpless. Now, you see, it's not then, now, I'm totally helpless. You see, I can't help you, I can't do a thing to you. You see, you know, really. Really, I can't, you see, I wish I could, you see, but I can't. There is nothing that you need, you don't need help from me. That much I know. You don't need help, you see, at all. So, but there is nothing that you can do, you see, not a thing. All right. We have come all the way from by train, huh?
So,
They will in any case censor, and I'm not interested in using the television to propagate anything or to give expression to myself. You see, in how many years I've been going to America, but finally, you see, they came. I told them I will not come to the studio. If you want, you can. And that's the way you are resolving. Do what you like. I'm not interested.
So you're going to say this on television, your life is in danger.
Danger. It's in danger. Danger. It's a threat. To you it is a threat.
Already.
Individually. Yes. It's a threat, you see. To the way you think, the way you are operating. So they will not, they will eliminate me. I'm not afraid, you see that. If I go, I go. It's no loss to the world. No loss to anybody. You know?
It's not logical when you tell your thinking when a threat for people. I can't believe that when he's on television it's dangerous for him.
It is dangerous.
Why?
They don't like what I'm saying.
No, that's different. There's so much.
When I, yes, you see, no matter where you are, even in the United States, which is supposed to be a land of the free and home of the brave, they tolerate as long as you are not a threat. The moment you become a threat, they will eliminate you. There is no freedom there. That's what I said there. There is no freedom in America, no communism in Russia. No spirituality in India. There's no communism in India. It's not going to be a stateless state any time. You know? What is there? No spirituality in India. What is spirituality in India? I'm an Indian. I come from India. I grew up there.
What kind of books did you read?
Oh, I haven't read anything since 1953. Before that, I read everything that was necessary. True. I had 10,000 books in my personal library. Then when I left that house, they said, you sell them by weight and buy some peanuts or something. Useless. What has not helped you is not going to help you. Anybody. If you are lucky enough to stumble into this kind of a thing, whatever it is, there is no question of your coming and thanking me or thanking anybody. No. Or me feeling superior because I have helped you, I have put you on the right path. Not at all. Not at all. You see, this leave it alone. That's my, leave that, don't touch that, don't play. If you are born that way, if you are born that way, genetically programmed that way, there is nothing that you can do about it. You push and push and push. But otherwise, it's not worth it. Not worth it. Enjoy. Why?
Because unfortunately, we are. We know. Something about it, so we will keep on.
Yeah, it is there, there is nothing that it.
Until the end of our life.
Yes. Thank God there is such a thing as death. That puts an
end. That is something.
That is something.
No.
You don't want me to stop?
I'm not.
How do we stop? What time is it now? Anybody?
10:30.
That's enough. One and a half hour. Huh?
Magnificent.
Come on, you sum up. Tell me. What you make out of it?
Nothing.
You are not here, you will be somewhere else. That is no problem. That's your misery. What, Margaret? No, tell me. No, no, we are not discussing anything profound. What do you make of it? No, I'm not mystifying or anything.
No, that's what I'm understanding.
How can you be interested in this kind of thing? How can you be interested in
this? Well, this is
quite. Can be interested in this kind of thing.
I think that we have the idea that when we could understand what you are saying, that we perhaps could be happy forever.
That's what I'm saying. This is the ultimate, yes. I'm saying all the time that there is nothing to understand.
Yeah,
you see, how I stumbled into this situation that there is nothing to understand, I really don't know. It's not the understanding that you are talking about. By listening more and more, looking at yourself and thinking over and over again, you understand, like the way we understand the mathematical problems or some technical problems or the legal problems, you see, like that, you see, but that's not that is not the instrument, and that instrument has not helped you to understand anything. And then if that certainty dawns on you, there is nothing to understand, there is no other instrument. If you invent intuition, there is an intuitive way of understanding, there is another way of understanding. No. Okay. That's the only instrument you have, the intellect which we have developed. It's not acquired, it's developed. Intellect is developed. Intelligence is native form, like the animals. We are highly evolved species, so our level of intelligence is more than the level of intelligence of the animals. That's all. That's the only difference. You see. Otherwise, the acquired intellect cannot help you to understand something that is living. Living problems cannot be solved that way. And the intelligence that is necessary for the survival of the living organism is already there. There's nothing more need to be done. What do we do? There's nothing to understand, I'm saying, and you are all the time trying to understand.
Are you saying that?
Sleeping? He's tired.
Yeah.
I think time for us all to say. Go to sleep.
Mr. Hanks, for the question.
Yes, question. He's coming to India and he will
get
his answer.
Maybe the answer doesn't make it
necessary.
Even before you.
No, no, I did not complete the sentence. You can try your luck with other teachers there.
No.
All right. Now
that I will not do.
Hmm?
That I will not do.
Hmm.
You know about. Anyhow, but I said what I was trying to say, that you are saying to us, I don't have the knowledge of it, so there is no memory of it, so I cannot tell you
what is that
how
in,
I stumbled
into that. What is that in here? How I stumbled into that.
Yes. So there is nothing to convey from my side to you.
Huh? No. It's not clear. Say that again.
You are saying to us, I don't have knowledge from that, how I stumbled into it.
Listen, let me put it differently. I really don't know how I stumbled into this.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. This is not what you are interested in. The second statement that I'm making, this can't be, you can't be interested in this, what I stumbled into. What you are interested in is totally different, you see. What you know.
How do you know that what we want and what we are after is something else than what you stumbled in?
Because I was also looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it starts with this.
It starts with that. It starts, there is no way out, there is nothing that you can do about it. We are all cursed that way, you see. And then somewhere along the line, it has to occur to you that this is not leading me anywhere. You know, there is no use going to 10 different teachers. If you see one, you have seen them all.
But not through understanding and not through intellect.
And what is it that is there for you to do in that case?
Nothing.
You say nothing.
I don't know. I try everything and nothing works so far.
Nothing
I
works.
Just wait.
You are waiting.
Just go and go on living and do the things I think I
You can't
to do.
Do that also, unfortunately. You see, you can't do that. You can't go back, you see, and live like anybody else, you see. You know, that's the problem. Either you have to find an answer or there is no or. You have got to find an answer for that, if there is an answer. Huh?
You are saying that knowledge is interested to keep itself
going. Yes.
So we are interested in knowledge and nothing
you
else.
You know more, that's all. That has,
that has nothing to do with
you
knowledge.
You know a lot, you see, that has not helped you. You know how to be happy. You know how to be free from pain. You know how to control your thought. You know all that. And
but
the knowing has not helped you.
I don't think otherwise I wouldn't be here.
That's what I'm saying. You have not given up.